Thank you, Mr. President. Our issue of today, negative security assurances, is one of the most long-standing items in the agenda of the CD. It was extensively debated in 2022 in the subsidiary body that you ably chaired and whose draft report, regrettably, could not be adopted by consensus. We still consider that draft a very solid basis for future deliberations of the CD on this matter. Mr. President, let me start by stating unequivocally that the provision of universal and conditional legally binding negative security assurances is not a favor or a concession beseeched by non-nuclear weapon states. It's a fundamental corollary to the great bargain underpinning the NPT. Moreover, NSAs, as some have mentioned today, have been recognized by the SSOD-1 as a measure to strengthen international peace and security and have been consistently called for by non-nuclear weapon states throughout the NPT review cycles. While not a substitute for the ultimate goal of total elimination of nuclear weapons, NSAs would be entering second best measures that would assist in bringing that objective closer to reality. First, such assurances would contribute to containing one of the main driving forces for proliferation. Secondly, they would further constrain the role of nuclear weapons in the strategic doctrines of possessor states, thus reducing the possibility of their use. It's important to recognize that NSAs cannot be expected to be a one-way obligation. They rest on the assumption that the states that receive such assurances continue to abide by their relevant multilateral obligations. And yet, like in many other discussions in the nuclear disarmament and non-proliferation regime, the adoption of NSAs is thwarted by arguments that rest on the principle of, and I quote, undiminished security for all. This principle has been consistently abused by some states to justify their continued refusal to accept even a modest reduction in their security, thus preventing a huge net increase in global security. Apparently, we are not far from an ideal scenario for a positive outcome. A marginal and largely symbolical decrease in the security levels enjoyed by nuclear weapon states to be amply compensated by a huge increase in the security of the large community of non-nuclear weapon states. Yet, adherence to the strictest implementation of the principle of increased and undiminished security for all is a comfortable and uncompromising way to oppose increased total security. It states unequivocally that the perception of security depends entirely on a nuclear weapon state's own appraisal, and it's deemed to be intrinsically more valuable than that of any other state. The self-evident corollary stands out clearly. Absolute security of one state rests above that of all other members of the international society. And the consequences are easy to anticipate, a race to the bottom, in which seeking absolute security will result in breeding absolute insecurity for all. Mr. President, all existing nuclear weapon-free zones include a mechanism for provision of negative security assurances in the form of additional protocols that should be signed and ratified by nuclear weapon states under the NPT, with binding obligations not to use or threat the use of nuclear weapons against states that are part of such zones. These protocols represent the strongest negative security assurances in existence, or at least they should. The limitation of these NSAs are exemplified by the experience of the Tlatelolco Treaty. Currently, all five nuclear weapon states have ratified the treaty's additional protocol 2. However, 4 out of those 5 have made interpretive statements that considerably limit and qualify their assurances. Such interpretive statements are akin to reservations, which the treaty explicitly prohibits. For many years, states parties to the Tlatelolco Treaty have been engaged in dialogue and outreach with those 4 states with a view to ensuring that such interpretive statements are withdrawn or revised. Such efforts will continue. In addition to such efforts, we reiterate our call to all nuclear weapon states to ratify the appropriate protocols of all existing nuclear weapon-free zones. Mr. President, we consistently hear protestations about the allegedly defensive nature of nuclear weapon arsenals and associated strategic doctrines. True progress on the issue of NSAs in the Conference of Disarmament via the negotiation of a legally binding, universal, unconditional, and multilateral instrument is the best opportunity for nuclear weapon states to demonstrate this in an unequivocal way. The negotiation of such a treaty, in the view of many delegations, is the least controversial deliverable before the CD. It would imply the fewest changes on nuclear doctrines and would have considerable impact, as I mentioned before, on the security level enjoyed by non-nuclear weapon states. In closing, Mr. President, a mere look across the windows of the Palais des Nations is enough to realize the marked deterioration of the international scenario. Announcements of positive military assurances are becoming a daily routine. It's undeniable that we ought to act fast and put to check those worrying developments. Strengthening and revigorating NSAs is the shortest cut to countervail, to the extent possible, those trends. Time is of the essence. Thank you, Mr. President.